and Matt, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
All right. 2 days ago, I said 72. That's a lie. 3 days ago, I said 72. 2 days ago, 72, 48. Now it's 24. They kick off in 24 hours. College football starts in 24 hours. That's tomorrow, for those of you keeping score at home.
Number one!
And there's that game every year. For a few years, they started a college football season on a Thursday, like they do the NFL. But now you get the kind of practice kickoff week before the explosion that is the final weekend of August now. And, wow, a week from Monday is Labor Day. That almost doesn't seem possible. But it is. Oh, I didn't see this story as we welcome you to Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. If you want in, 284-8571, it's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. On text, it's 3210824. That's our text line. For Twitter, at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for me. For Nick, it's at Rick Nodgers. Dwight Howard is, in fact, going to join the L.A. Lakers, according to... Oh, it's a Woj bomb from 40 minutes ago. The buyout with the Grizzlies is official. He'll sign a one-year non-guaranteed deal to join LeBron with the Lakers. By the way, he was a free agent in 2016. He has played with the Hawks, the Hornets, the Wiz. He was traded to the Nets, got waived, and Memphis never put a uniform on. Played 9 games with Washington. Then he played a year with the Lakers. I mean, you want to talk about a career that started out with such potential and stability. He was Superman with the cape and winning dunk contests and leading Orlando to the NBA Finals. And now he's Waldo. You don't know where the hell he is. Such odd circumstances. And by the way, a couple of you, we were playing the game of what event would you have loved to have been around to cover with access to Twitter. Some of y'all are mean, knowing I'm a Knicks fan. I can't even count off the top of my head how many of you said Reggie Miller against the Knicks. You can't see me. I'm flipping you all off. So some good ones there. A few of you busting my cable cars about...
What?
About the A's sweeping the Yankees. But I want to run this by you guys to make sure I'm not being overreactive here. So I'm watching Oakland finish off the sweep last night. So the game is on the MLB Network, but as you know, like the NFL Network. Well, the NFL Network, that was bad. It's the NBA Network, and you know, sometimes they just take the local feed. Sometimes the MLB Network will have, you know, their game when Costas will call it with like Jim Cott and something like that. But they had the A's feed on NBC Sports Athletics, obviously out of the Bay Area. So their broadcast crew, thus their producers, everybody that is a part of calling a game on TV, it's the local call. So they break away for, it's called Connection to the Game. It's a news and notes segment. And like I said, it's produced and presented through the lens of the Oakland Athletics organization. It's their broadcast. So they had three stories. Top story, injury bug continues to bite the Astros. Setup man Ryan Pressly will have surgery on his knee, miss 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, that's understandable. It's news. Oakland is chasing Houston in the West, so it's relevant. Now, I want you guys I want your reaction to this. The next story starts with more good news for the A's. So they're considering the injury to Pressly good news. And I'm like, that's a little cringeworthy. Next, they actually type out on the screen and the sportscaster reports more good news for the A's. Rays rookie all-star second baseman Brandon Lowe will miss the rest of the season with a leg injury. And I'm like, doing a double take, I'm like, are they joking around? Good news that a young guy got injured and will miss the rest of the season. And I'm like, I get you're neck and neck with Tampa for one of the two wild card spots, but you're celebrating an injury. Am I off thinking that's really Bush League and a little bit slimy? Yeah. Am I off or do you agree?
No, I agree that you are not off. That is a bad thing to type. More good news, injury occurred.
That's like sleazy.
I mean, you know, in the back of someone's mind as an A's fan, they're probably thinking, oh, okay, like the A's, like we're catching a break here. We might be able to pick up a game or two and, like, you know, we'll push it within five or something. And who knows what the hell weird stuff is going to happen. You'd be like, all right, that's, you know, everything's coming up Oakland. But you can't, as, you know, somebody on TV put more good news, injury happened to team you're chasing. That's that. No, come on.
Yeah, one of the worst moments we've ever seen was when Michael Irvin got hurt at the old Vet, suffered a neck injury. He was down and not moving. And naturally, the Philly fans were cheering. But and they got crucified for that. And it's like, that's just an awful, classless thing to post, to even consider. And whoever put up that graphic, I mean, that deserves at least a little chat with the boss. Either way, the bottom line is the Oakland pitching staff over 27 innings really limited those assassins in pinstripes. A nice outing for Tyler Roark, pitched into the seventh, allowed just two runs, was in cruise control. And he's one of those guys, when he's on, he's kind of nasty. He's not overpowering. He's not a strikeout an inning guy, but it's away, it's down. And they were doing a lot of waving at crap in the dirt. You know, he was in the into the seventh. He got Gardner to lead off with a pop up, and then Gleyber Torres took him yard. Melvin pulled him. Torres actually hit a second homer in the ninth to make it a 2-run game, but it was with two outs. Tuchman whiffed, facing Joaquin Soria. Tanaka pitched like a busher. Five earned runs. He two. Critical walks, 109 pitches over six innings. Yuck. So with Cleveland losing, by the way, again to the Mets. That team is insane, by the way. Oakland enters the weekend. They're now the wild card leader in the American League. It's 1 percentage point over Tampa. The Tribe is now on the outside looking in by a half game. New York now just a game ahead of Houston for best record in the American League. In the American League. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What else did I want to? Oh, yeah, by the way, A's Giants starting tomorrow. The Yankees and Dodgers, that's Chavez Ravine. That's right now the battle of the best record in the American League versus the best record in the National League. Paxton Ryu in game one. Tomorrow, the game's on Fox Sports 1. Karsten Charles Sabathia against Tony Gonsolin, the L.A. rookie. The Gale from St. Mary's got a save in his second major league appearance. 4 strong innings against the Rockies on the last day of July. Picked up his first major league win with 6 shutout innings against the Cardinals August 5th. Pitched well, albeit just 4 innings and a start at Atlanta last Sunday. And now he'll face the Bombers, the ESPN Sunday Nighter. By the way, you couldn't see that coming, Dodgers-Yankees on the ESPN Sunday night game. How about this one, though? Clayton Kershaw against current Yankee ace Domingo Germán. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline.
This is a question you might be able to know, but I have to set it up with that. It's Players Weekend in baseball, so the teams get to wear normally very fun, bright, colorful jerseys, but this year it's a monotone black and white, so it's MLB gave some lame-ass excuse. I was like, oh, it's so that the accessories really pop and you can notice the colors. Please, guys, like that's it just... it just looks so dumb. You can't read the numbers. You can't read the name on
them. Explain what the point is.
The point of the Players Weekend is
that... No, I like Players Weekend.
Right.
But this uniform choice, it's like... It makes you want to adjust your set.
It's very like Bud Selig of Rob Manfred to do this. Of just like, white jerseys and black jerseys. Make it work. Anyways, I noticed it earlier today with John Lester. He ended up... Because, you know, it's supposed to be mono white or mono black from top to bottom. But the Cubs playing a home game were in white. John Lester's supposed to be wearing a white hat. Instead, he wore the blue hat. The same thing is happening right now with Mr. Jacob deGrom, who is in all white but is wearing a black hat, and his teammates are wearing white hats. Do you know of any rule or any reason why
uniform hats
pitchers wouldn't be allowed to wear white hats? Is it because it's the same color as the
deceptive.
Ball?
Deceptive. I guarantee that.
Is that probably what it is?
Yeah, because there have been guys who've had like white tape on their fingers, and it's like, no, you could put a Band-Aid on. It's just the reason they've got the dark backdrops right. And everything. Anything that could be deceptive to the pitcher is usually a no-no.
So I guess if guys, you know, going over his head with his windup or as he's coming through to throw, that ball can just blur in with the white hat. So basically, baseball came up with already one, horrible, horrible, bad-looking uniforms, but then also two, uniforms that the pitchers for the home team can't even wear because now they have to mismatch with the rest of their teammates.
I would say that the Met uniforms and did you just mention that the Cubbies did the white on white already today?
Yes. So it's, I guess for all of the teams this week, the home team will be wearing white like they normally do, and the away team is going to be in just, you know, mono black from top to bottom. So away pitchers will be able to wear their black hat no problem because it's, you know, most teams in baseball have black or really dark colored hats, I guess. But now all of the home teams this week, their pitcher won't be wearing the same color hat as their jersey or the rest of their teammates, so they're going to stick out like sore thumbs.
You know, when I was looking at the Cubs earlier, looking at the Mets now, it kind of reminds me a little of the players in Field of Dreams, those uniforms, aside from, you know, the Black Sox, because if you are familiar, the guys who came through the cornfields, obviously one was Shoeless Joe, that was Ray Liotta. And I didn't realize this till years after because there were some other pitchers, but it was Chick Gandel, the shortstop, Eddie Seacott, the pitcher, Hap Felsch, Bucky Weaver, the third baseman, Swede Risberg, the shortstop, and then, of course, Moonlight Graham. They picked up on the way from Boston to Iowa. John Kinsella was the catcher, Ray's dad. So, that's the first thing I looked at. They looked... old. They looked, and I'm talking 100 years old.
Well, it's just, you know, the past couple of years, the Players Weekend, it's been, you know, obviously throwing the nicknames on the back, but it's just been like, hey, here's a really brash, bright jersey that no team would ever agree to wear for, you know, 82 road games. But you know what? You can wear it for 3 days out of the year and just, you know, stick an emoji on the back of your jersey. Have fun with your name. Wear random colors. Have a bat that's got an octopus on it or whatever, like El Gary Sanchez does because he's also nicknamed the Kraken. Like, just go have fun. Just get out there. Use a bat that's a random color. Put a bunch of random tape all over yourself and just, you know, call it Players Weekend, an expression. And now it's just like white jerseys, black jerseys. That's good enough. It, do the names and the numbers, just the same color as the jersey. We don't want people to see it. It's just, let's make sure that nobody actually has any fun because everything's just monotone.
What do you think the over-under is for the players in the game who put a uniform on, innings-wise and forget what they're wearing.
Oh, all the time. That's actually a couple of the things that I'm like super fascinated in and that I've read about before. The Diamondbacks are like, I guess, the Oregon of baseball, where they've got a lot of uniform combinations.
Right.
But they have a mannequin that their equipment manager will go through and dress up. And they'll have one that's like, please wear this for batting practice, please wear this for the game. And you have a special, like, red batting practice hat, and you've got one that's, you know, red with dots on it that you've got to wear during the game. Or we're wearing this in the pregame, and it's a throwback, so we're wearing this during the game. Like, make sure your socks and your shoes and everything matches, because UniWatch, Paul Lucas on Twitter, will have people that are watching the game be like, oh my gosh, look at these dumb idiots. He's wearing a spring training hat, and it's August 23rd. What a dummy. How does he still have that on him? So yeah, it's very, like, teams and players will get very confused, especially because I'm sure they don't really care what they're wearing as long as it's somewhat comfortable.
Well, I'll tell you what, considering how long I've followed Major League Baseball, if I didn't go from staring straight ahead while we were in the middle of a segment to up in the left corner seeing, there's no reason, when the Braves are in the field and pitching, and they show the view from behind the pitcher. You have, it could be, if somebody told you, oh, they broke away, they had a problem, they're showing the minor league game, you'd be like, okay, I buy that, because there's no possible way to recognize it's the Braves and Mets.
No, there's nothing that distinguishes one team from another, and, like, that's the point of the jersey. Like, the Braves should be in red or blue or something.
Or
you know,
the Braves colors?
Right, yeah, like, let's not actually have everybody wear the same two jerseys the entire night. And, like, they've somehow figured it out with the black jerseys that, oh, we can't put black numbers and black letters on the back because then nobody will read it. But with the white jerseys, they're like, ah, outline them in silver. I don't know. It'll be fine. Nobody cares anyway. Like, what? This is, it's just the dumbest thing ever. Like, I don't know how baseball could get jerseys wrong at this point. Like, they'd had 2 years
right,
where they were
you
okay.
You didn't see this coming?
Right. Like, it was, they were okay. I could understand the progression, like, bright colors, let's be different. But you can't just go the complete opposite way. Like, this is so 2003 of just like, ah, just all black, all white. We'll make it work.
It comes into a theme we have where you can't stop the first thought that comes to your mind, but you can veto the first thought that comes to your mind. So there were people in a room who looked at, well, how about this? Somebody said yes, and somebody seconded it.
Yeah, well, like, what if we just
how did they get to that?
Hey, let's save money because we spent all this time making sure that the baseball is basically just a bouncy ball and it's going to fly 900 million miles. We've kind of spent our budget this year, so we need all of the players' weekend jerseys to look the same. We can have everybody wear blue or we can have everybody wear black and white. What are we going to go with? Oh, well, black and white, I guess it'll be different, like home and away, blah, blah, blah.
I was talking with a friend long distance the other day and the subject of celebrations came up, and I was like trying to get the East Coast perspective, and I was like, has there been any talk on New York radio about acknowledging it's the 100th anniversary of the Black Sox, 1919? And it's like, I don't imagine baseball would celebrate that, but you would think there would be some kind of, maybe it's, considering the danger it put the game in and the panic among the owners at the time, because remember that was only the American League wasn't even 2 decades old at the time. And when you lose the public trust, I mean, it led to them hiring a commissioner for the first time, obviously, you know, suspending 8 guys for life who have never been reinstated. But the bottom line is a really substantial, I can't call it a moment because it was a World Series, and it was really not settled, I don't think, until 1921. But, yeah, the Black Sox scandal, the 1919 Sox.
Pete, don't call me Peter Alonso, is up right now, and he's got his polar bear nickname on the back of his
jersey.
Actually,
it looks like a polar bear.
He does, right. But, you know, the whole point of the white jerseys and white pants was so that you could wear accessories and the colors would pop, but the damn socks that they gave him are also white and black, and you can't even tell if a guy's got high socks or low socks on. This is just the most unpoorly thought out thing I've ever seen before. I don't understand how they could. Day in and day out, a guy will wear high socks, and they've got these, like, they've got to deal with stance, and he's got the high pants on, and the socks are cool and colorful, and they got designs on them. And then here, they're just like, no, you just, these ones are tall and white, and, you know, or you can wear your pants down, or you just, you'll have black socks as
well.
It looks
like a detergent commercial.
Kind of.
How white can your whites be? This. It's Nicole Kidman white. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. All right, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Been talking to you all week about a new sponsor who's been generous enough to jump on board, KUJZ here, the ticket search engine. Welcome in our friends from SeatGeek. And, you know, it when you talk about 'tis the season, it's that time of year. College football, pro football is starting. Pennant fever has kicked in. It's not that long until, you know, you could decide to go see some hoops up to the north, or if you want to make it up to Seattle for some NFL football down to the Bay Area, travel wherever you want to go, follow your team on the road. Well, the bottom line is, I'm breathing a sigh of relief because they really do make it easy. The level of efficiency is through the roof, and the customer service is absolutely fantastic. I mean, they have more than 50,000 five-star reviews. I mean, SeatGeek is just the standard setter. It's the way to find tickets, and one of the things I like about it is it's 2019, and they're operating like it's 2020. They're always just a little bit ahead of the curve, because if you're looking for an event, you don't want to, after a half hour, still not be sure what's it going to cost, is it available. It's basically, you're logged on, you know what you want to see, when you want to see it, you have a budget in your head, and you could also set the parameters. I'm willing to spend between X amount of dollars and X amount of dollars, and you know what that's going to get you, whether it's going to get you in, whether it's going to get you up close. And like I said, I am all about the efficiency. The process is fantastic. It pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. It rates each deal for you on a scale of 1 to 10. You get the interactive seat map, because once you've made the move to get your seats, you don't want to be surprised when you get there. And you won't be. You got to download the app onto your phone. And, you know, as we're looking ahead to the upcoming seasons, and, you know, if you want to see pro hoops, if you want to see NFL football, I mean, this is the way to go about it. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the fastest and easiest way to find tickets. And there are a lot of great events coming up. I mean, college football season starts tomorrow if you're willing to hit the road. And like I said, efficiency is really important to me. I know it is to a lot of you. And we're going to the bullpen now to bring in our closer, because Nick is our resident authority on this.
Well, if you download the SeatGeek app and you need to do that today, SeatGeek will give you, that's right, you and you and you, $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase by using our special promo code. Download the SeatGeek app on your phone. When you're ready to buy those tickets for whatever event that you're going for, use code THESCORE. THESCORE. It's all one word. The score. $10 off on your first purchase. I combine those words together. A purchase. That's promo code The Score for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Get that done. Do it today.
And check out Adam Eaton's cleats. His son made them. His 3-year-old son, Braden.
Hitter with power of late for Eaton. Belted to deep right. Castellanos turns, and Eaton has done it again. Nats on the board early. Eaton's 12th home run. A solo shot makes it 1-0.
And they were off to the races. It's kind of a John McClane. Welcome to the party, pal. They opened up a 9-0 lead. Cruz 9-3. The Washington Nats are they're just knocking the crap out of the ball. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And again, I feel like every day we're pointing out some obscene statistic from Major League Baseball. I mean, we know the Orioles have already given up the most homers ever by a team in a single season. It's still August. There are certain numbers that are just out of sight and we're never going to see again. Nobody is going to play in 2,500 straight games like Cal Ripken. I don't think the next closest right now, I don't think anybody's got a year streak going. I may be wrong, but in essence, they've got about 162. So if they play, somebody's got to play the next 16 straight years to even get close. And we know that ain't happening. You hear a lot about the Yankee offense and some of the other lumber companies, but Washington is on a nutty tear. They scored a run in losing at Pittsburgh Tuesday, but 9 today, 7 yesterday, 11 the game before that, 13 Monday at the Pirates, 16 Sunday against the Brewers. This is a baseball team, by the way. Who's I talking about with that big swing? Oh, yeah. Cal football would give anything to have some of these offensive numbers. In that loss over the weekend, last weekend against Milwaukee, they scored 14 and lost. They scored 17 against the Reds last week. And like I said, they knocked John Lester out of the box in the fifth today en route to 9 runs. And I'll tell you what, because of Christian Yelich in Milwaukee and Cody Bellinger in L.A., Anthony Rendon's season is kind of sneaking under the radar. But he's batting almost .325. He's got 101 RBI, only the second guy to reach that plateau this year. And he's got 28 bombs. But he's slugging over .600. His OPS is over 1,000. He was an all-star for the first time this year. The problem with playing third base in the National League right now is you got the combination of Mike Schmidt and Brooks Robinson over there in Nolan Arenado of the Rockies. By the way, he's within 10 points of Jeff McNeil of the Mets for the batting title. He's only 2 behind Freddie Freeman for the RBI lead. What I'm trying to say is he's really good. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I was looking over, Chris Peterson of the Huskies announced it's going to be Jacob Eason. I think, what was the dude's name? Hayner was in the running, but I didn't think it was very realistic that they bring a guy in from Georgia, and he ain't coming here not to play. So while the competition is something coaches, it's kind of their life's blood, it's going to be Eason after all. I saw this on Twitter, and I don't have the contempt I once did. I said that doing this show, particularly here over the last now going on a 12th football season, it's kind of tapped into the fan in me. And while my fandom for the games and the sports will be perpetually on a 10, just individually, the way I root, I just see things through a more neutral, analytical lens. But every once in a while, I get in FU mode for Husky fans or Celtics fans or Red Sox fans or Cowboy fans. So I saw on Twitter the audacity, one of the Washington fan accounts. So it was, maybe it was a blog. This is a quote. I take it back. This is a paraphrase. They said, "The Ducks and Huskies have challenging openers with Oregon playing Auburn and UW drawing Eastern Washington." I'm not making that up. Somebody who covers college sports and I think gets paid, desperate to make Washington's opener look like it's is equally challenging to Oregon. Now, this doesn't matter if you're a Duck or a Husky. If you're a college football fan, you're like, LOL, you're stupid. I mean, could we agree on that? Could we, come from both sides of the aisle, gavel it, and say, Madam Speaker, I'd like to have a presentation here. And everybody, you know, it passes 535 to nothing in the Senate and Congress. This is one of the dumbest things that's ever been written about college football in the preseason.
I don't know. Anytime you get two schools from within the same state playing each other, families,
you're not helping,
and homes are going to be divided right down the middle. I mean, think of all of the classic Washington, Eastern Washington games that we haven't had yet because this rivalry hasn't been sparked. I mean, you're talking about a team in the FCS, and, you know, that's in Division II. This is a team another team in their state. Bragging rights are on the line for all of the five people who live in Eastern Washington to be able to brag about the millions in Seattle.
There's nothing on the line. Washington is going to kick their ass sideways.
I think you being a little too serious walked all over the joke I was working on that entire time.
I'm not apologizing. Right. On Saturday, tomorrow, Arizona at Hawaii, CBS Sports Network, 7:30. The Bows had absolutely bottomed out. Remember when Norm Chow took the job? They won a game in 2013. Then they hired a dude named Nick Rolovich, who won 7 games year 1, 3. Then last year won 8. And they were actually above 500 in the Mountain West. They bring back quarterback Cole McDonald. They've got the Hawaii non-conference schedule are 3 Pac-12 teams. They've got this one, Oregon State, there in week 2. Then they go to Seattle. But ironically, they return the most starters in FBS. The Wildcats are installed as an 11-point favorite. And by the way, big over-under, 73. The Coloridians are the only other school in the conference to open against a ranked opponent. They go old-school Big 8 playing Nebraska. And, you know, we've had this conversation periodically over the years, but programs in different leagues and especially if you're from my generation, nothing freaks me out more than Maryland and the Huskers in the Big Ten. I can't tell you how many times, whether it's basketball season, football, I'm like, oh, I want to check out something on Nebraska, Big 12. Oh, damn it, I forgot. You know, mostly baseball, Maryland, ACC. What the hell? And I'll go look and I'm like, oh, damn it, I forgot. They're not. It's like, it's so wrong.
It's been 5 years, Steve.
Hey, I haven't figured out Houston in the American League. I figured that out about, what, June 29th?
It's been 5 years, Steve. I could understand.
You're too young.
The thing I get messed up is I constantly call the Big 12 the Big 10 because I think that there's 10 teams that should just be called the Big 10. Like that,
because
just,
it's the Big 10?
Right, because, you know, the Pac-12 is the Pac-12 because there's 12 teams. If there's 14 teams, it'd be the Pac-14. Like, that's just what it should be. So I will call the Big 12 the Big 10 wrong all of the time, but I know the conference that I'm talking about. I just can't remember the name because they can't count.
Yeah, how did we get blamed for this? 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I want to talk a little bit about Nebraska because obviously there's a bit of a connection with, you know, Scott Frost left for 2 years, did a great job, won their version of the Natty at Central Florida, and then he took over, you know, a blue blood in Nebraska. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hey, Stevie. So the University of Nova Scotia is in the Big Ten too, right?
Nice one, Jack.
So Floridians and Coloridians are like the same thing, right?
I guess they're inhabitants of a state, but I don't know call them the same.
I've never heard it. Coloridians before. That's the first time I've heard that.
Well, I make up words. Just because you hear them from me doesn't mean it's in Webster's Dictionary.
But it will be next year.
Oh.
Hopefully.
I have no response to that, Jack. You got me.
Okay. You have a good weekend, buddy.
Take it easy. So if I were to name the inhabitants of each state, we've got Oregonians. Is it Washingtonians? Californians, Coloridians, that's not a word, Coloradoans, what are Utah people called, Utahs?
Utes.
Are they called that, or is that just the nickname for the sports teams at the university? You don't know.
I don't know, it could be. All right. Might as well call them the Utes, I don't know. We could call just people from Utes. Colorado the Buffs. Or the Rams, if we wanted to, or the Broncos.
Nobody would
the
know. Most neutral people would not know what you were saying if you called them the Rams. I think there's a bigger default to L.A. there. But anyway, the Huskers, remember, they lost their first six games under Coach Frost, and there were some tough ones in there. They lost that gut-wrencher in overtime at Northwestern, but they won four of their last six.
The Colorado denominum is Coloradan.
Coloradan.
So not Coloradian. Right. That would be
Coloridians is way cooler. There's no question about that.
It's very Tannenism now.
All right. So the only two losses that Nebraska had the last half of the season. At Ohio State by just five as an 18-point underdog, and the season ender at Iowa by three, Phil Steele called the Huskers the most improved team in the country. Adrian Martinez is his trigger man. He's going to put up big numbers at quarterback, now just the sophomore. They get Ohio State early at home. They don't play Michigan. They get Iowa and Lincoln. They also get the Badgers. We don't need no stinking Badgers as home as well. And how about this? They get a bye on October 19th and a bye on November 9th. Is that common this year? Is there like a scheduling quirk that I missed on? Because sometimes that has to do with when the season starts and when Thanksgiving is, as far as the way they spread out the games. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about UCLA and what's up with the Chipster. I've got some news and notes about who's playing quarterback for who within this conference, and I got some MLB. But before we take a break, KJZ 95.3 score! A great way for you to save big bucks. Huge. Why would you pay full price when you could pay half? Go to our website, 953thescore.com. Click on the Sweet Deals link. Save half price on local area businesses. And, you know, this has been restaurant week, and every morning at 9 a.m., ka-ching, ka-chang, ka-chung, ka-chung, ka-chung. Today, Wheel of Pizza Pub, where $25 gets you a $50 gift certificate. Details at the Sweet Deal link at 953thescore.com. Check out Sweet Deals today exclusively from your friends right here at 953 The Score. All right, folks, it's Friday. We are now inside 24 hours. And for those who are jumping on the Schroeder bandwagon and saying college football officially starts with Villanova at Colgate, I only count FBS. Am I a snot? Yes. Am I a snob? Yes. It's just so you know where I'm coming from. And nothing personal against Villanova or Colgate, two fine institutions of higher learning, but I shan't be watching those. I'll be tuned in at 4 when we get Canes Gators from Orlando.
On the That Can't Happen scale, this is about a 15 out of 10. If you're the Strohs, you can't let a situation that literally goes back to a different baseball club infiltrate your own clubhouse to the point that you've embarrassed yourself on a constitutional level, on some level, never mind a baseball level, from your biggest possible star field. It's just not a good look on a professional standpoint.
So that's Clinton Yates of ESPN talking about the other day after the Tigers beat the Astros as the biggest favorite for a regular season game, you know, laying 5-1. The Astros denied access to Justin Verlander. And it's like, God, it seems like some people are just obsessed with, it's like, you think you're Bush League and small-minded and a snowflake? Watch us. It's a classic, hold my beer. God, it's such so cowardly lion. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Looking ahead to next week, the Chipster and UCLA open with Cincinnati. By the way, that's Thursday. So in the next week, you know, Oregon State starts. By the time Saturday rolls around, I think almost half of the conference teams will have already played a game. UCLA is going to be at Cincy Nippert Stadium. They play in the American Athletic. And right now, the Bruins are a 3.5-point dog. Bearcats won 11 games last year. They've got a lot of talent back on offense. A 1,300-yard back, Michael Warren. Quarterback Desmond Ridder, who's now a sophomore. We also have, for bonus points, who coaches Cincinnati? I will give you a hint. He was the guy who, in between Jim Tressel and Suburban Meyer, guided Ohio State during that odd season for 1 year. Luke Fickell. Now year three, more emphasis on defense than another interesting game. A lot of people say UCLA's got the hardest non-conference schedule in the country. I mean, Cincinnati, it's an American Athletic Conference team. You know, it's not a Northwest East Divisional Directional State A&M. Then San Diego State come to the Rose Bowl. This is an Aztec program that had a very nice run. They won 11 games, 10 wins. Last year dipped a little to 7-5. Actually got blanked in the Frisco Bowl by Ohio. The Bobcats beat them 27-0. How weird is this? I was reading up on them. San Diego State last year had 9 scholarship seniors. That's it. That's a little over 10% of your 85. But while expectations I would call limited with UCLA, these two, sometimes it's nice to play Tennessee Tech or the Citadel to get a win under your belt. So they have those two games far from pushovers, and then Oklahoma comes in week three with Jalen Hurts. So I'll tell you what, if UCLA doesn't win those first two, they ain't going to beat Oklahoma. They're going to hit conference play 0-3. And, I'm not saying the Chippinator is on the hot seat. Certainly not like what's going on across town with Clay Helton and maybe Gus Malzahn at Auburn. But, man, you hit conference play 0-3 off of last year's 3 wins. And people are going to be, I guess it's not just add water with certain programs. Program, scorecard, lineup, yearbook, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We brought this up weeks ago. First of all, the story hit that Met Hall of Famer Tom Seaver had early onset Alzheimer's. And then came the story that Tom Brady and his, is it a corporation, TB12, was trying to get the patent on Tom Terrific. So today, the United States Patent and Trademark Office put the kibosh on it. It said, Brady said his goal was to ensure people didn't refer to him by that nickname. Then why did you put in for the patent and the trademark, dude? And then, of course, all New York Met fans got pissed off to beat the band because it's synonymous with Seaver. And so today, the USPTO said the applied for mark consists of or includes matter which may falsely suggest a connection with Tom Seaver. Brady and his people have up to 6 months to respond to the rejection. If there's no response, the request just gets completely abandoned. When it surfaced in June, Brady said he expressed regret. Lesson learned, do things different, and he wasn't trying to be disrespectful. So you got that going for you, which is nice. All right, other stories making the rounds today. Dwight Howard is going to join the Lakers. He's going to get bought out. I'm just trying to think. Did he get on the court last year? Was it 8 games or something crazy like that? Because, yeah, I don't have, like, a memory of him last year. It's like I couldn't picture him in that unit. There it was. He played 9 games for Washington. By the way, really? The year before, he played 81 games for Charlotte? That has to be, for a guy of his caliber, who's very recognizable, I don't have a lot of memories of him playing for them. Well, of course, it's the Hornets, which are about as obscure of a non-entity of a program on a national level that we probably have in the three or four major team sports in North America. Here's an interesting one. Participation in youth baseball is on the rise. Very glad to hear. We talked about this several years ago that I would guess there are an element, I didn't say it was a high percentage, of parents who are like, you're not playing football, try baseball, or you're not playing a sport. I'm not saying it's an overwhelming, it's a tidal wave, but it kind of makes sense under the current mental landscape that has permeated. All right, break time. Back 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Weekend starts next. 95.3 The Score.
But man, y'all got a coconut up.